إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد، قال الإمام المجدد شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات في كتاب التوحيد: باب لا يقول عبدي وأمتي. في الصحيح عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا يقول أحدكم أطعم ربك وابدئ ربك وليقل سيدي ومولاي، ولا يقول أحدكم عبدي وأمتي وليقول فتايا وفتاتي وغلامي. Welcome all of you. We continue reading from Al-Mulakhaz في شرح كتاب التوحيد. We're in chapter 54. الإمام المجدد شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى تبي عبد. He says in this chapter 54 not to say my slave or my slave girl, not to say my slave or my slave girl. And he mentioned a hadith that is in Sahih al-Bukhari and also in Sahih Muslim on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, let one of you not say, feed your Lord, clean your Lord, let him call you my master, and let none of you say, my slave or my slave girl, let him say, my young man, my young woman, or my boy. مناسبة هذا الباب لكتاب التوحيد شيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه تعالى. First of all, he gave us the relevance of this chapter to كتاب التوحيد. As you just heard, this is the word of توحيد is not even mentioned in here. Not even the word like of shirk is not mentioned in here. What is mentioned here is that no one should say, feed your Lord. Like if a person, a master and have a slave, he shouldn't address that slave and tell him, feed your Lord. Meaning bring some food for your Lord. Meaning his master. But rather they should say, feed your master. And also the person should not say abdi wa amati. The master should not address his slaves by saying my slave boy, my slave girl, but rather he should say my young man and my young girl and the like. What this has to do with tawheed? The Shaykh, he says, أن التلفظ بهذه الألفاظ المذكورة يوهم المشاركة في الربوبية فنهي عنه تأدبا مع الربوبية وحماية للتوحيد بسد الذرائع المفضية إلى الشرك. He says, by using these expressions that I mentioned in the hadith, when the master said to his boys that work for him, feed your Lord instead of feed your master. Or the master calling those slaves like Abdi, Amati, rather he should call them as mentioned. He said, so using these expressions, he gives the impression that person who's a human being have some shares in the Lordship. Okay? Because now they're calling him Lord. Okay? And him too calling his slaves my slave. Okay? Those who work for him my slave instead. So Allah is the Lord, and he's the one who has slaves. His servants are his, the human being and the like. That we are the servants of Allah, and he is the Lord. So therefore, out of respect and veneration for Allah, especially in these aspects of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, it is prohibited to use those words. To protect one's Tawheed. To protect one's Tawheed. And this is something to cut the road and the path, any path that leads to shirk. That leads to shirk. قال الشيخ وهذا المنع يختص في منع الربوبية للإنسان بخلاف غيره فيقال رب الدار والدابة. He says, so this prohibition is when a person addresses someone to be his lord, but it is permissible to say in Arabic it is permissible to say رب الدار with the مضاف المضاف إليه رب الدار رب البيت, meaning the lord of the house, meaning the owner of the house, the one who's in charge of the house, the one who's in charge of the house. So that's an expression that he says. It says رب الدار. Sometimes you may want to do something, or you're in neighborhood and for whatever reason, then they say to you اسأل رب الدار. Ask the Rabb of this house, meaning the owner and the one who's in charge of this house. Likewise, remember in Surah Yunus, Yusuf, قال إنه ربي أحسن مثواي. إنه ربي, because Yusuf alayhi salam, as we know his story that Allah has mentioned in the Quran, in Ayah 23, he mentioned this word, إنه ربي. Meaning his master. Because Yusuf alayhi salam, he was sold as a slave. Okay, as a slave. Qadar Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is a prophet, son of a prophet, son of a prophet, son of a prophet. Allahu Akbar. The most noble lineage. His lineage is very noble. He is a prophet. Son of who? Son of who? Yaqub was a prophet. Son of who? Ishaq was a prophet. Huh? Ishaq. Son of who? Ibrahim. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Even though he went through what he went through. Sometimes people, they ask a question, why I'm going through this? Yeah, subhanAllah. You don't ask why you're going through things. If you have something to do with it, repent. And ask Allah for forgiveness. If you're being oppressed and transgressed against, be patient. As those who are better than us, they went through hardship and they were patient. They were patient. Even Yusuf alayhi salam, he says, "As-sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilayh." He chose to go to jail. He says, "Oh Allah, jail, go to jail is better for me than to stay free and give in to what they are calling me to, from temptations and the like." Now, قال والسيد السيادة معناها الرئاسة على ما تحت يده. أيضا وهناك فرق بين الرب والسيد, فإن الرب من أسماء الله بالاتفاق بخلاف السيد, فقد اختلف في كل من أسماء الله. وعلى القول بأنه من منه منها فليس له من الشهرة وكثرة الاستعمال مثل ما للرب. Now we have, the Sheikh mentioned the difference between these two terms in Arabic, الرب, which is very famous, والسيد. السيد. الرب is from the names of Allah. There is no abud with the consensus of the ulama that الرب is well known, that it is one of the names of Allah, a name from the names of Allah. as opposed to Sayyid, there is a difference of opinions whether it is from the names of Allah. He said, even though those who say it is, it's not famous and used as Ar-Rabb is used. Wa Mawla'i, the master, he says, has different meanings, but here it means the owner. The owner, if someone has a slave, he owns that slave. He's under his care and under his authority and the like. Al-Ma'na al-Ijmali al-Hadith, the general meaning of this hadith, يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى ينهى صلى الله عليه وسلم عن التلفظ بالألفاظ التي توهم الشرك وفيها إساءة أدب مع الله سبحانه وتعالى كإطلاق ربوبية إنسان لإنسان أو عبودية إنسان لإنسان لأن الله هو الرب المعبود وحده سبحانه وتعالى. He said, in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he prohibits certain expressions that give the impression of shirk, entails shirk, by giving the impression. It's not like a clear shirk. And also, that's not showing respect that the person should have and the veneration that the person should have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by just saying the Lord, this is my Lord. Because that entails the Lord in that person sharing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his Lordship by calling him my Lord. Or for a person to say to another person, he's my servant, he's my slave. Because Allah, he is the Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has the right to be worshipped alone. ثُمَّ أَرْشَدَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَى اللَّفْظِ السَّلِيمِ الَّذِي لَا إِهَامَ فِيهِ لِيَكُونَ بَدِيلًا مِنَ اللَّفْظِ الْمُهِيمِ. And pay attention to this one, maybe one of the points of benefits from it. And then the Prophet ﷺ, as you know from before, the Prophet ﷺ, when he prohibits something, he gives you the proper things and the right things to say or to do. He says, when the Prophet ﷺ did that, for prohibit such thing, he guide us to the right expression that contain no delusion. So instead of saying the Lord, you say this, Mawlai, Sayyidi. وهذا منه صلى الله عليه وسلم حماية للتوحيد وحفاظ العقيدة. Why? Because when the other terms are used, it gives the impression. Okay? When somebody says, who's your Lord? And he said, so and so. So people usually, when they ask this question, who's your Lord, they say, Rabbi Allah. So he gives this delusion and this confusion. Okay? So he says, no. So, من مولاك, من سيدك, من مالكك, يعني, هكذا, أحسن, this is better statements. All of this is in protection of Tawheed, one's Tawheed, and so that the persons be upon the right creed, upon the Aqeedah. The sound creed. مناسبة الحديث للباب أن فيه النهي عن قول عبدي وأمتي. Why the Shaykh chose this hadith as a proof to this chapter? Because in it is the statement of abdi wa amati. Do not say abdi wa amati. It is prohibited for someone to say my slave boy, my slave girl. ما يستفاد من الحديث? What are some of the benefits of this hadith? نعم. I'm waiting for your participation. That's what Na'am was for. And Muhammad?
Make clear the stance of the Aqidah of the Salaf. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't leave like an ambiguous state there.
That's okay, but we want some points of benefit related to the hadith and also to the subject of Tawheed. But what you said is right now. The Aqidah is very clear and there is no ambiguity in it. You're right. Naam, Luqman.
That Islam closes every avenue to the
list. Ahsan, that's one of the points the Shaykh mentioned. Islam closes every avenue or path that leads to shirk. Naam, Shaykh Omar.
But worship is only for Allah.
Ahsant. Naam. Muhammad Amin.
There is Islam for Muslims who say things like, my slave or my slave.
Ahsant.
Or for the slave to say, my Lord, because he's more than me.
Ahsant. Because they have this delusion and may give the impression of sharing in the Lordship of Allah. Now,
the distinction between when you can say Lord and when you can
say Lord. That's Zakallah Khair and Ahsant. Oh, well, now you can write this one. Zakallah Khair for your contributions. You were all right, even those who are sitting on the left. You are right in your answers. Alhamdulillah. Number one, النهي عن استعمال الألفاظ التي توهم الشرك. النهي عن استعمال الألفاظ التي توهم الشرك. It is prohibited to use any expressions that give the impressions and the delusion that they may lead to shirk. Okay, like this here, my Lord. Who's your Lord? Oh, my Lord, the so-and-so. But it's different if you say landlord, meaning the owner of the house. Now you're talking about a specific meaning, specific person. No, but just a Lord. Usually, when the people hear the Lord, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know. ثانيا سد الطرق الموصلة إلى الشرك. Islam shut down and cut off all of avenues and paths that leads to shirk. That leads to shirk. For example, other examples, it is not permissible for a people to believe that for them making dua at the grave of some sheikh, some righteous person, maybe even a prophet or a companion. Now, pay attention to the details. This is a person, he's invoking Allah. Because if that person say, Ya Jailani, Ya Hussein, that kufr, that's disbelief. Alright, but this person, he's saying, Ya Allah, but he's doing it at that site, believing that there is something special, and his dua is more likely to be accepted when it's done in there, and that Sheikh Fawzani said that's a bid'ah. That's an innovation. Okay, because yes, this person is still calling upon Allah, he's not calling upon those dead people, but he's doing it his way. So there is no dalil. There is no dalil, no proof that says those who make dua at the site or the grave of a righteous person, their dua is more likely to be accepted than others. There is no dalil. So there is a bid'ah. Not only is it a bid'ah, but it may lead to shirk. The person himself may begin to believe that, okay, well, I'm here, this righteous, I'm just going to start calling upon him. Or he give the impression to others. Other people, they just seen him over there. They don't know that he says, Ya Allah. They're like, oh, this man, he's here. So, look. Especially if that man, people respect him and the like, and they He gives the impression that he's calling upon that person. And this is how shirk ul iyad billah. By the way, this is, you will find this, what I just mentioned right now, in the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan in Nawaqid al-Islam, the explanation of the second of the Nawaqid al-Islam. مَنْ اتَّخَذَ مَعَ اللَّهِ وَسَائِطَ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ. At the end of that point, number two, from the 10 things that nullifies one's Islam of Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ. ثالثا ذكر البديل الذي لا محظور فيه. ذكر البديل الذي لا محظور فيه ليستعمل مكان ما فيه محظور من الألفاظ. Likewise, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned and he gave the alternative. What to say, since this is not permissible to say, he gave us what to say. Okay? So he forbade us from those statements that contains and entails shirk and may lead the impression to shirk, especially in Rububiyyah, and he gave us the proper expressions to say. Now, مقال شيخ الإسلام محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى باب لا يرد من سأل بالله. باب لا يرد من سأل بالله. عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من استعاذ بالله فأعيذوه ومن سأل بالله فأعطوه ومن دعاكم فأجيبوه ومن صنع إليكم معروفا فكافئوه فإن لم تجدوا ما تكافئونه فادعوا له حتى تروا أنكم قد كافأتموه. رواه أبو داود والنسائي بسند صحيح. So he mentioned another hadith. Now we move on to the chapter number 55. Do not turn away the one who asks for the sake of Allah. Do not turn away the one who asks for the sake of Allah. On the authority of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you hear the Messenger of Allah, you guys say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have to say it loud, but at least say it. Okay? That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever asks for Allah's sake, then give him. Meaning, tell you, by Allah. Yeah, it's different when someone says to you, hey, can I borrow something? Or somebody says, by Allah, can I borrow? See, it's two different things. He says, whoever asks for Allah's sake, then give him.
That's the second part of it.
Huh?
That says the second part of it.
What second part? Levels, levels. Doesn't matter. Naam. And whoever seeks your aid for the sake of Allah, then give him. Even though they switch it, the translation, they switch it. Maybe there is two different wordings of the hadith, Allahu A'lam. Sometimes you have wordings of the hadith, or maybe it's a mistake as related to the translation, Allahu A'lam. But yes, here in the text, the Arabic text, it starts by مَنْ اسْتَعَاذَ بِاللَّهِ فَأَعِيذُوهُ. Whoever seeks refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from something, help him and aid him. like A'udhu Billahi Mink. I said, leave him alone. Aina. And as the Shaykh, he mentioned in other tafsirs, وَمَنْ سَأَلَ بِاللَّهِ فَأَعْطُوهُ. And whoever asks for the sake of Allah, then give him. وَمَنْ دَعَاكُمْ فَأَجِيبُوهُ. And whoever calls you, then answer him. He calls you, meaning invite you. دَعَاكُمْ. Not just called, it's not called, it's the invitation, meaning da'wah. Whoever invites you, as we're going to explain, especially for the food and the like. Somebody invites you for food, you answer that invitation. وَمَنْ سَعْنَعَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا فَكَافِئُوهُ. And whoever does good for you, then do similar for him. Do similar for him. If you cannot do similar for him, then say a dua for him. Do similar for him and reward him. You don't do the same thing as the Shaykh Fawzan is going to explain. Here, sometimes the translations are, you know, they don't give you everything. That's why it's good to listen to the explanation. So here, whoever help you out, do you a favor of any kind, reward him. Like, do something for him too. Okay? He said, but if you don't have nothing to give him or do something, then make dua for him. Until you see that you have, meaning like, done something for him in exchange as well. If someone help you, for example, in a certain thing, you give him a gift. Or help him too when he needs something. Do something for him. And the Shaykh Fawzan is going to explain why. This hadith is collected by Imam Abu Dawood and Nasa'i. And Imam Al-Albani, he authenticated this narration في السلسلة الصحيحة. In the Silsila Sahiha, hadith number 254. Sahihahu al-Albani, rahimahullah, fi Sahiha. Munasabatu hadha al-babi li kitab al-tawheed. Now the relevance of this chapter to kitab al-tawheed. قال لأن في عدم إعطاء من سأل بالله عدم إعظام لله. وعدم إجلال له وذلك يخل بالتوحيد. Why Shaykh al-Islam, Imam al-Mujaddid Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, رحمه وتعالى, brought this chapter once again in Kitab al-Tawheed? What is the connection of this? Do not turn down or turn away, meaning preventing someone who asks by Allah. He says, in the name of Allah, give me this. For example, instead someone said, give me $10, he says, in the name of Allah, by Allah, can I have $10? So he says, because when a person does not assist another person who asks him by Allah's name, and there is another chapter also that's going to come, about a couple of chapters that have the other chapter that have similar meaning, inshallah ta'ala. He says, because when a person let that person down, even though that person say, by Allah, that shows that he doesn't have that veneration and high respect and exaltation for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
And this is deficiency in tawheed. And of course, we're going to read to you from the book of Dhur al-Nadir. He says, this is for a certain thing that you, it doesn't apply on anything that people ask you. You have paycheck and something, say, by Allah, give me your paycheck. Now for the thing that you're able to give, you have $10 and somebody asks you by the name of Allah, give it to him. For the sake of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Now. Ho- هنا قال من استعاذ بالله فأعيذوه. Whoever sought refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant him that, help him. Mm. Meaning, for whatever that, the Shaykh says, for whatever that he's seeking refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from. Mm. Okay? So, he says you have to do that. He says from your evil or the evil of others. Ayna. فأعيدوه أي امنعوه مما استعاذ منه وكفوه عنه تعظيم الاسم الله. For example, if somebody seeks refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a person's evil and harm because he was harming him or like, he should stop harming that person. Because he said, I seek refuge with Allah from your evil, you're harming me, putting trash on my path. You gotta stop. Don't say, well, you deserve it. Why? Because you're looking for it. Stop. Nah. Stop that. Aynam. And keep in mind that putting trash in people's paths, that's not permissible to begin with. It's not even permissible to harm the people in their properties or in their blood or in their honor or in their wealth. Yeah, it's not permissible in Islam. You gotta have respect for the neighbors and for their properties, for their honor and the like. وَمَنْ دَعَاكُمْ أَيْ لَا طَعَامٍ أَوْ غَيْرِهِ. المعنى الإجمالي للحديث يأمر صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا الحديث بخصال عظيمة فيها تعظيم حق الله سبحانه بإعطاء من سأل به وإعاذة من استعاذ به وتعظيم لحق المؤمن من إجابة دعوته ومكافأته على إحسانه بمثله أو أحسن منه مع القدرة وما عدمها بأحالة مكافأته إلى الله بطلب الخير له منه سبحانه وتعالى. The general meaning of this hadith, it contains an order from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he orders us to adorn ourselves with great traits and qualities and great characteristics that we should adorn ourselves with and should apply in our lives. Why? Because they shows that a person who acts upon these traits and these great qualities shows that this person have a high respect for Allah, exaltation and veneration for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How one of those is that you give the one who asks you by Allah. You see? The one who asks by Allah. You're not giving it because, keep in mind, it's difficult for the people to give their wealth. It's not easy for everybody to just give. When it comes to, you ask the people what they have, oh man, you are like, they look at you in a different way now. Aynam. That's why we have in the other hadith, if he wants the people to love you, don't ask them what they have. He wants the people to respect you and love you, and don't ask them their properties. And Sheikh Fawzan, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen and others, they said, because usually people don't like the one who wants to take things away from them. They don't. Even if they give him, now they're going to look at him in a certain way next time when they see him. That's why he says, don't ask the people. But if you are given, they give you, that's a different thing. You take. Aynam. Also the i'adha. So if someone seeks refuge from any harm or any evil, you grant them that. Aynam. Likewise, from the good qualities of the Muslim, is that the Muslim, he honors the rights of the believers. We have rights over each other. Give me some rights.
When you
return the salam. Aynam. As-salam, tusallimu alayh.
When you ask for the
sihah. Mas-mas to return. Tusallimu alayh. Ida laqitahu. You give him the salam when you meet him. Some people, they just, even if you have issues with that person, you give him salam. Some people, they pass, don't know salam. Some people, you give him the salam, they don't even return the salam. Naam, Abdullah.
Advise him when you ask.
Ahsant. Give him a sincere advice. Naam, Muhammad.
Follow his janaza.
Ahsant. Janaza. When a Muslim die, you follow his janaza if you're able. Naam Usman. If he sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, you said to him, Yarhamukallah. Naam. Tashmitu al-Atis. It's called Tashmitu al-Atis. Abdul Majid. Ahsant, he is one of them. Answer his invitation for what? Any invitation?
Good.
Huh?
Good.
Hey, now. That'd be a good thing. Now, Luqman? Ahsant. Iyadatul Mareed. The Muslim is sick. You visit him and make dua for him. Anything else? Another right? Now. So this is one of the rights. The believer have rights. So one of them is this, ijabatu da'watihi. Under his invitation, he call you for food. And the ulama, they give tafsir. What is obligatory and what is recommended. And in general, but we're going to learn more details in this in Riyadh Salihin, inshallah, because there's chapters on that. But in brief, the ulama, they mentioned that the walima for marriage, when a person gets married, that's an obligation. It's an obligation to honor that invitation if a person is able to. And also if that walima is free from munkarat, free from evil. Because you know how sometimes some Muslims, masakeen, they don't know, they have a walima, but then you show up and then there's mixing men and women. Some they have even music going on. Women are not dressed properly. What you do now? Oh. The ulama, he says, there's two things you can do. The easiest one is to what? Turn away. Leave. The other one is?
Advice.
Call the police. You advise them. If you are able, if you are from those people who are able to change the evil, you change it. You know, like by those three different, levels. Someone who has the authority is someone who's in charge in the area. He's the emir. And they invite him and he sees evil. He will tell them, what is this evil you're doing? See, because he has the authority. If not with the tongue, give advice for those who are able and qualified, bil adillah, good manners, uslub tayyib. Or at least you hate it with your heart and leave. No.
What about the akibah? Does it carry the same level as...
No. Does not. But it's good for those people who have time to attend. Because the ulama from the Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he said, when you honor the invitation of your brother, whether for walima, for the nasika, which is aqiqa, or for regular occasions. Rather just call you for some food. It's when you honor it and you show up, that make them happy. But when you say, no, I'm not coming, and especially you don't provide an excuse, a reason why you cannot come, then you leave the door open. Oh, he's because I'm not that much for him. I'm not his man. Especially if he saw you honor the invitation of somebody else. It's like, why him and not me? And Shaitan, what going to do now? He's going to use that, the Shaitan, to stir and add more problems to it. Now, if you cannot make it, give what?
Excuse.
An excuse. This is from the Sunnah of the Prophet. He used to say things and tell the reasons behind that. Say to him, Akhi, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, I would love to be there, subhanAllah. You know what, Akhi, when again? Next Sunday? I have some plans, but listen, Akhi, let me, see, like this way, people at least, they know that you're concerned. He said, let me see, Akhi, if I can get out of some obligations. I would love to be in your house, Allahu Akbar, MashaAllah. It's a beautiful time, beautiful thing to spend time with my brother, and you're inviting me in your house? But let me see if I can get out of some obligations. And be sincere, because Allah knows what's in the heart. And then, and do your best. If you get out of those obligations, alhamdulillah, go and spend that good time, because it makes your brother happy, mashallah. you know, that I came. And it's good for him, for his wife. Alhamdulillah, because she knows that her husband, mashallah, some brothers came, especially some people in the community who they may think that, oh, subhanAllah, they may be respected or something. Wow, he came to our house. Allahu Akbar. Now, look at the mashayikh, subhanAllah, yaakhi, for the akhlaq of the mashayikh. Huh? They use the sunnah. They don't apply the sunnah, but in different ways, like certain people, they scrutinize the people. Who's calling us? Who's inviting us? Come on, where am I going to go? I give you an example. Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala. He was given a class, and he was talking about the walima. And he was, as it is mentioned in his books, when he died, rahimahullah, his students, and they wrote a couple of books on his biography and his mini akhlaq, rahimahullah, Sheikh bin Baz. So he was given a class, explaining the walima. And that if your brother invites you to the walima, and you have nothing else to do, important and the like, accept the invitation and honor the invitation. This is now Sheikh bin Baz. Subhanallah. He was a layman person, a regular man, Muslim man. He would attend the class. At the end of the class, he said to the Sheikh, "Ya Sheikh, he just says in the class, if a person was invited to a walima, and he doesn't have other obligations, he should attend." The Sheikh said, "Yes, exactly." He said, "Guess what? Next, whatever, I forget the date, I have a walima of my son. I'm inviting you." This is a layman person. It's not like another Sheikh invited the Sheikh, you know? This is a regular man. Sheikh never know him or heard of him. He's not a part of his family. Now, what do you think the Sheikh will say? He said to the person who in charge of his program, because the Sheikh does a lot, subhanAllah, from Fajr until Isha, he has so many appointments, so many things he does. So he asked the person, he says, on this day, this man answered, "Do we have anything scheduled?" He says, "No." He says, "Schedule this one. I'm going to go to his walima." The application of the sunnah. He didn't give him, "Come later on, we'll see what's going on." No, immediately gave him an answer. Said, "Do I have something at that time?" Usually they do the walima after Isha. "Do I have anything that day?" "Nothing, Sheikh." "All right, put down on that schedule. We're going to go." And they went there. The regular person, they went, Sheikh bin Baz went and attend the walima.
You say usually they do the walima after Isha?
Yeah, that's what they do. Customs. Customs. Add that to the people. Usually they do it here when? After Asr. Or Dhuha. Okay, whatever works for the people. Alhamdulillah. Whatever works for the people. Now, Al-Ayyin, so these are from the things that shows that a person have akhlaq. High respect and exaltation for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by adorning yourself with these good manners that Islam calls to. وَمُكَافَأَتِهِ Likewise, now we were talking about the rights of the Muslims. Likewise, to reward them and to do something good for them when they do good for you. If somebody help you out or give you something, or then you try your best to give them something too. Similar, he said, or even better. Or even better. And if you cannot, what do you do? Make dua for them. Allah dua until you feel like you have rewarded them. Why all that? Is so that your heart be free from that person, being attached to the person who helped you out. He did something for you, try to do something for him, that's it. Like we say in our terms, do you even? Okay? But if you don't, somebody keep doing good for you and you're like, inshallah, that brother Allah. Alhamdulillah. Whenever you see him now, you feel something in your heart toward him, like he's something. And You know what I mean? And your hearts now be attached to that person. You see? But when you, now you love your brother for the sake of Allah, but you don't be attached to him. That whenever you hear his name and he's shy and this and that. No, you respect your brother and you deal with them with dignity and give them their rights. But your hearts has to be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, مناسبة الحديث للباب أن فيه الأمر بإعطاء من سأل بالله وعدم رده. The reason the Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab رحمه تعالى mentioned and brought this hadith and selected this hadith as a proof, because he says, because in this hadith there is an order from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that order consists of, if someone asks you by Allah, you should not turn him down. Don't turn someone down who asks you by Allah. Ayna. ما يستفاد من الحديث? What are some of the benefits, Ikhwan, that you may come up with? Number one.
Complying with the hadith that shows the veneration and respect of Allah. Not complying with it shows the opposite.
Ibrahim. Under the rights of the Muslims. Naam. Sent. What is some of those rights? Naam. And ring the invitation. Abdullah?
Naam. When he gave you the salams, extend the salam.
That was in the hadith?
Oh, no.
In the hadith. There's a benefit from another hadith. Asman.
Whoever seeks you help for the sake of Allah,
Ahsan.
You should be able to help
us. Naam. Naam.
You should do the.
Oh, here. And we get back to it. Now,
if someone does something for you,
he's a big guy, man. I want to have no trouble with him. Go ahead.
If someone does something for you, then you try to do something.
Ahsan. Somebody help you out? Something good. Help you out in good.
Inshallah.
Then you try to do, reward them. Give them a gift. Like somebody help you out, for example, raking. But it's not a job. He didn't hire you. Look, you're working for me, and here is your pay. No, this person can rahi wallah, I need to do my yard, big yard, my grandmother yard, can help me. Okay? And he go, and he comes, and he help you, you have to give them something. So they feel like you have given them something. So you don't like, whenever you see the man, that brother helped me, man, and you keep attached to them. But if give them something better if you can, but if not, alhamdulillah, the least you make dua for them. Naam, Yahya?
I was going to say, do good to those who do good to you.
Ahsan. Naam, that's a good point. Abdullah.
If someone seek refuge in Allah.
Ahsan. Naam. Complete it. Because you said if. Usually this if needs jawab. Jawab al-sharp. Tarif al-sharp. What do you call the shirk?
If someone seek refuge in
if I see you next time and I stopped here, is that a jumla mufida?
Condition, shirk is a condition.
No. If I in English, if somebody comes to you and say, "Hey Abdullah, if I see you next time," and he left, what would you? Would you understand something?
No, not at all.
He needs something, but if I see you sometime, like what? You complete it.
I see you sometimes, I give you $100 or something like that.
Jazakallah khair. Naam, Abdullah. Go ahead. If someone seek refuge with Allah,
If someone seek refuge in Allah,
grant them that.
Grant now.
I mean, if they said, I seek refuge with Allah from you harming me, ya akhi, with your text messages, what do you do now? Stop sending text messages. Yeah, because he said, I seek refuge with Allah from you. You're harming me with these text messages. Some people, man, they keep sending so many text messages. Hey, Allah, brother. Zakallah khair. One text message a day is okay. Not 165. Please, okay, it's too much. Naam, Abdullah.
Also, these are statements of Tawheed. When one mentions Allah's name, these are statements of Tawheed. When one comes and asks you, yes, Allah.
Statement of Tawheed?
No.
How is that?
He's mentioning Allah's name. He's coming in Allah's name.
You said it. You explained to me.
It's veneration for Allah's name.
Veneration. Ahsan. Showing respect.
Nah.
And high veneration, which that's from Tawheed, from the completion. Man shows man's strength in Tawheed. Now, how many? You had your hands up. I saw him. But I didn't ignore you. I saw you. I registered you. So now you can talk.
You said that if someone said, if I see you,
I see you. We have husn al-dhan. We have things about the good circumstances, inshallah. All right? Tayyib, Abdullah.
No.
You got to see me, inshallah, right?
No.
Yeah. Be ready, brother. Hayyakallah. Well, wait a minute. If you could do that, I have to do better.
Subhanallah.
Okay. I'm going to hide from you, Abdullah. Allahu Akbar. The beauty of Islam, subhanAllah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Naam. Awalan. Now you can write these. Because this is what the one we're going to write, inshallah. Number one. Allah yuradda man sa'ala billahi. Izlal lillahi wa ta'zim allahu. The one who asked by Allah should not be turned down, not because of the person. Because that shows high respect, veneration, reverence, glorification, exaltation of Allah. You see? Mm-hmm. By Allah, that's it. SubhanAllah, he's asking you by Allah. You give him, if you have. If you can, you assist them. Give them the right. Give them what they ask for. Mm-hmm. Spend that 10 minutes to review with them that whatever they ask, they want to review. Because Akhwan, we don't just whenever somebody asks people, their mind go to money.
No,
money is just one aspect. There is a lot of better things that people ask for. People ask for your intercession. You know somebody that you have an impact on him, and they want you to talk to that person on their behalf because they respect you. And you see, sometimes you have two people, they're going through some hardship. Would they be partners, husband and wife, father and son, neighbors, whatever the case may be. If they come to you and you know that you have an impression on the other person, they say, by Allah, can you just attend this meeting of ours? By Allah, can you put a word? And you do that. You honor that. It's not always money. People ask for money. People ask for other things. Now, number two, أَنَّ مَنِ اسْتَعَاذَ بِاللَّهِ وَجَبَتْ إِعَادَتُهُ وَدَفْعُ الشَّرِّ عَنْهِ. If someone seeks refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from some harm, it is an obligation to honor that and to stop that harm now and to assist him to achieve that. Number three, مَشْرُوعِيَةُ إِجَابَةِ دَعْوَةِ الْمُسْلِمِ لِوَلِيمَةٍ أَوْ غَيْرِهَا. It is legislated for us to honor the invitation of a Muslim, whether for a walima or other than it. So we should take this seriously. Sometimes people, they just refuse the invitation for no reason. Worse, for bad reasons sometimes. Your brother invites me, for example, invites someone for a walima, and he's going to turn it down because he want to go play soccer? Because he want to go play football? Or baseball or basketball game? Can't do that, yeah. That's not an obligation. Yes, you're going to work and you cannot take off. Your mother, for example, you already have an arrangement that you're taking your mother here or there.
and you cannot get out of that obligation, nam, and you're going to let down your brother invitation, go play some basketball? Nah, you cancel that game. One, I can't go there. And if you're going to go play with the Muslims, and they were invited, some of them were invited there, you tell them, you remind them of their rights, of their brother. It's like, I hate the game. We play every Sunday. Yeah, but this Sunday is what? Is the exception. That's what I was looking for. This Sunday is an exception. Can you imagine? You tell me this, Ahi, come on, man. We're not hungry. It's not about food. It's not about going to eat. It's about being there, making your brother feels good. Alhamdulillah, his brothers are coming. Especially if he knows that you had some, you used to play that basketball game every Sunday, and now he show you there, and he says, Akhwan, subhanAllah, you came. Akhi, come on, man, you are a brother. Our brotherhood is more than any game, akhi, all right? Yeah, we go play, mashallah, to sweat, and alhamdulillah, he wants to be in shape. But you're our brother, akhi. This is the application of the sunnah. Now,
my brother invited me to give me an invite. I can't make it. I send something, maybe some juice or fruit salad. Or is it impermissible to bring something if I come?
Oh, yeah. That's what you usually do if you cannot come?
I'm just saying.
I will invite you next time. I'm going to see your schedule. It's good. It's from good manners. If you cannot make it and send something. But then you need to know the people themselves. Because some people, they don't want it. They didn't invite you to bring something. It depends also on the customs of the people. Sometimes you're in an area, when you show up with certain things. As long as it doesn't, you don't feel like you're obliged to do it. Now, sometimes people, they take this customs of far, you know, from being normal. In some tribes or some areas, for example, if whenever you're invited, you have to bring a gift. If you don't bring a gift, now you're a bad person. And this. No, it shouldn't be that way, okay? First of all, you try to honor that invitation. If you cannot, let them know and present an invalid excuse. Tell me, Akhi, I was going to come, but mashallah, this come up. Please forgive me. Jazakallah khair. Allah ihfazak. I would love to be there to spend some time with you. I, inshallah, jazakallah khair, may Allah reward you for inviting me. Barakallah fiqh. I try to make it up for you next time. Okay? Stuff like that. But if he wants to send something, labas, inshallah. Especially if it's walima and you or nasika and you send a gift with somebody else. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, tahadu tahabu, exchange gifts. That brings love amongst yourselves. Okay? Now, that's why when you give somebody a gift, what is the first thing you see from their faces? Nice, happiness, joy, happy. Huh? Like you say, Abdullah, tafaddal. All right? And look at the smile. MashaAllah. Hayyakallah. Barakallah. Jazakallah khair. Now, what was the last point we mentioned? Huh?
We did the third one,
right? Now, number four, مشروعيه مكافاه المحسن عند القدره. Also, it is legislated for us to reward anyone who does good for you if you're able to do so. Someone did something good for you, try to do something too. Okay? Try to do something too. Now, if you're able. A question? Wait. Let me finish this one here. Number five, مشروعية الدعاء للمحسن عند العجز عن مكافأته. And if you are not able to reward that person or give them something or do something for them, then you make dua. You make dua for them. I'm going to read something just here from the إجابة الدعوة from الدر النضيد. على أبواب التوحيد للشيخ العلامة سليمان بن عبد الرحمن الحمدان رحمه الله. قال السائل إذا سألك قال أسألك بالله. I ask you by Allah. Or in the name of Allah. He says, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, when that person asks you by Allah, because he believes in Allah. That's why he asks you by Allah. Then you give him, if you are able. In Fath al-Majid, he mentioned, Fath al-Majid is an explanation of Shaykh of Kitab al-Tawheed as well. He says, the apparent meaning of the hadith, that is prohibited to lay down and turn down anyone who asks by Allah. That's what apparent meaning is. However, he says, this general meaning, it needs details. Aynam. He says, for instance, if a person is asking something that is his right, like from Bayt al-Mal, like for example, in a Muslim land, there is a ruler, and then there is money that is gathered by the ruler from zakat, for example, and other means. That money go to whom? To the poor and needy. That's it? No, the zakat goes to those who deserve it, that Allah has mentioned in the Quran. For the ayah, the famous ayah 16, Surah Tawbah. So if one of those people come to Bayt al-Mal, Bayt al-Mal is like the treasury of the dawla, okay? If he comes and asks, and he's one of those people, they should give him. They should give him. Aina. They give him according to his need. They don't just give anything. No, they look at how much he needs for him and his family for a whole year, and that's what they give him. And it's between them and him. Look at the beautiful Islam. It's not like now the welfare in the non-Muslims lands, they're like, oh, we're helping them, but after disgracing them. Have to stand in lines and everybody know they're going there and this and that. Now Islam, alhamdulillah, it's they preserve the honor of the person. Okay? I heard our brother Musa Richardson, Hafidhahullah, when we were in Philadelphia, and he was giving talking about the zakat, and he mentioned that why in something along with this, preserving the honor of the people that you're helping, that you shouldn't expose them, you know, and nobody should know that they are being given, because some people are like that. They don't want nobody to know that they get something. Okay, that's why they don't ask. They may be very in need, poor. لا يسألون الناس إلحافا. They don't ask. And he mentioned, he said, about those, this is Musa Richardson, Hafidhahullah, he disapproved of the idea of what certain organization they do. Some charitable organization, they collect the money from the Muslims, like in a non-Muslim lands, but then they go to this area to distribute what? Those money and those help with what? With a big track. A track that says, has the logo. And now the people in the neighborhood, they all know that this big track come to this person and the like. And they may bring some, what? Ihraj. How you translate ihraj? Make the person not comfortable of accepting this because people know now this man, he's getting this money from this organization or from the people, sadaqah and the like. But rather it should be keep in mind to preserve the honor and dignity of the recipient. Now, وبهذا ننتهي من هذا الدرس وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما